Let the church say amen. God has been good to us once again. God is always good. It's good to see all of you out this morning. I know there are a few that are not, there are some that are not here, and the audience is kind of few this morning. But you know what? Pray for those that are not here and be thankful for those that are here. And let God's Word continue on. It's good when one comes out to the house of the Lord, because this is where we're supposed to be on Sunday morning. If you're not working, you ought to be in the house of God. But nevertheless, whether it's 1 or 21 or 101, God's Word shall go on. This morning, the Scripture was read for your hearing from Matthew chapter 24 and the verses number 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I want to talk once again this morning about a subject most of us don't like to talk about, and that is death. And this morning, for a subject, it's the call to be ready. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Bow with me, if you will, and pray with me. O righteous God in heaven, Creator and Maker of all things and all people, we thank you, O Lord. We thank you because we couldn't have gotten to this day without you, O Lord. We thank you that you allowed us to be a part of this day. We thank you for this day, and we thank you that we might survive during this day. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that your will for our lives might be done, and not our will, but that your will be done in us, O Lord. Father, we thank you for the church members that are here, and we thank you for those who are not here as well. And we pray and ask for strength for those who are standing in the need of strength this morning. We pray for those who are weak because of their sickness. We pray for them that they might be touched by the healing finger of your hand, O Lord. We thank you for those who have lost loved ones and may be grieving and healing from that. We just thank you, O Lord, that you give them strength. Father, we thank you for the leaders in this congregation and their families. We thank you that they might be well ready to serve the call that you have given them to call upon, to answer, O Lord. We pray and ask you, O kind Heavenly Father, that you be with the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray that you continue to bless each and every one of them and their family as well. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on. Father, we pray and thank you for the leaders of this world in which we live, that they recognize you as the sovereign God, and that they continue and may not make any reckless laws that endanger us from worshiping thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the soldiers as they stand guard all over the world. We thank you for the peace officers as they bring peace or attempt to bring peace to our neighborhoods. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who are standing on the battle line, Father, for the holding up of your blood-stained banner. We thank you for the churches of Christ everywhere, especially those who are holding up that blood-stained banner. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are here this morning, O Lord, and we just thank and pray and ask you, Father, that we might be blessed and we might be a encouragement to one another, and that we might love one another, O Lord. Then, Father, we thank you for our children as they're growing up. And we're just praying, O Lord, our children have a long and a hard road to travel in this life. We just pray, O Lord, that you would keep them safe and keep the parents involved in their lives, O Lord, that they may teach them what is right and teach them your ways, O Heavenly Father. We pray now, Heavenly Father, as we go on into our services, that you would be with us all and watch over us and keep us throughout these services, O Lord. in the name of your Son Jesus, the one who went up Calvary's hill, stretched out his arm, and gave up his life on our behalf, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. This morning, when one asks the average person, in particular a Christian, if they are ready to meet the Lord, you may be surprised to find out that you may insult that person. That person may become insulted because most of us don't care to discuss our death. Yet all of us fall into one of three categories. The first category, there are some who have made no preparation because they are not interested. Number two, they have deceived themselves into thinking they are ready, but according to Matthew 7 and verse number 21, they may be rudely awakened. Finally, there are those who are prepared, and into that category, I ask this question this morning. Into those three categories, I ask this question. Which category do you fall in this morning? The Bible has some advice for all of us. And the advice that we all need to heed is found in verse number 44 of Matthew chapter 24. It says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So we have to be ready to answer that call. We're going to have to go whether we're ready or not, but hopefully you will be ready. All shall meet him. Now, I know that some of us might not like this subject matter, but the fact is, it's a matter of truth that we must accept. For as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, so shall death come to us, and after death comes the judgment. There are some facts that we need to face and learn to accept. According to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 32, look what the Bible says in Matthew 25 and verse number 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goat. We've got to learn to accept that we're all going to meet him. Whether you're ready or not, we have to make sure that we know the facts. And the facts are that we're all going to be called one day. We may live in this world with the evil and the wicked. But in that day of separation, in that day there will be a time of separation. Just as the harvest time, the wheat and the tares are separated, so shall man be. Every eye shall see him, according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7. He cometh with clouds and glory, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. Every knee shall bow to him, according to Romans 14 and 11. Many may not fall to their knees today, but the day is coming when every knee shall bow to him. And he says, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. God has willed the judgment to Christ Jesus. Acts 17 and verse number 31. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. So I ask the question this morning, who did God raise from the dead? None other than Jesus Christ. None other than Jesus Christ. We must continue, we must prepare ourselves or make ready, for that day is coming. It may be thousands of years from now. It may be just one day from now. It may be tomorrow, if you will, because 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8 has given us a warning. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. So it may be tomorrow, and it could be thousands of years from now. But one thing I do know, we must get ready. God knows us. He knows our lives. And one day we're going to have to give an accounting to that same Jesus. So I ask the question this morning, are you ready? Have you prepared yourself? Back to the text again in Matthew 24 and verse number 44, where the Bible says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. When you're least expecting Him, He may come. When we're least thinking about Him, He may come. When we least have our mind made up to serve God, He may still come. He is still going to come. So how do we prepare ourselves? Well, the first thing is we must be saved. Knowing how to be saved is not the same as being saved. Some folks will tell you, oh yeah, I know all about being saved. I know all about the things that it takes to be saved. But you ask them the question, have you been saved? Have you been to God? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? And many will tell you, no, I have not. But in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and the verses number 10, the Bible says, wherefore the brethren give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. This means for us to put in our Christian works, to examine ourselves, to make sure that we are true believers. Asking God the same as the psalmist asked in Psalms number 139, where he said to the Lord, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Have you asked God to search you? Have you asked God to try you? Have you asked God to, He already knows your thoughts, but have you acknowledged to Him that He knows your thoughts? See, whatever you may be thinking in your mind, God already knows what you're going to think. He already knows what you may be thinking. You're becoming a believer on Christ Jesus means that it must come from the heart. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 and 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in verse number 10, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You got to believe on God in your heart. This heart, not this heart. You got to thank God and be believing that God is and He will do what He said He will do. And when you look at the Bible, there are some promises in the Bible that God has made to us. There are some promises that we can count on as never to be broken. But we must believe in our hearts. Believing on Jesus Christ comes from the heart. Christ went through an ordeal of his own death that we might be saved. It just seems to me as though that we should prepare ourselves to be ready when He calls us. You know, and I can promise you the call is going to come. We must believe on the Son of God that we may know that we have eternal life, according to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. Then in that same book in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. In other words, in your preparation, you better make sure that you are loving your brothers and your sisters. You must make sure that you are loving even your enemies. And I know when it comes to thinking about love, some folk get tripped up a lot of times. They don't understand that loving means that you also must, even though they do things that you don't like, you still must love them. Loving your brethren and loving your enemies. And pray for them. Pray for them that they might be well. You know, some folk don't know the answer to a good prayer. Naturally, we don't know the answer to a good prayer. But some folk don't understand how the answer to a good prayer may be given to them. You know, when you pray, number one, you must have faith in what you're asking for. You must have faith in God that He is able to deliver what you're asking Him for. And then, you must be willing and have an open heart to accept whatever God's answer may be coming to you. And God, as I told you a moment ago, 1,000 years is like one day to God. So, because He doesn't answer you the same day that you pray, doesn't mean that He's not going to answer you. It just simply means that He is not ready to answer you at that point. But do you know that when He does answer you, that you need to understand that He is answering you? Do you remember, I like to use the example of where when Peter was in jail and the church began to pray for them. Pray for him, I should say. And as the church was praying, guess what? Peter was standing outside at the gate. So you got to be willing and ready to accept God's answer. Even though they were still praying, Peter had already been released from jail. And as I often tell the church, if I go to jail, I might not pray for the church, to ask the church to pray for me, because you might pray that I stay in there. But nevertheless, we have to make sure that all of these things become a part of preparing ourselves, especially if we expect to receive eternal life. Again, the text says, Therefore be ye also ready for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. We must tell others. Or what good is it if you are call yourself a real deep-rooted Christian, but you don't share the Word of God with others? You've got to learn to share the Word of God. When we have believed on Christ, I ask the question this morning, do we tell others? Or do we take the attitude of this? If I found Christ, so can everyone else. But you didn't find Him by yourself. You had some help along the way. Somebody urged you to come out to the Lord's church. Somebody urged you to study God's Word. Somebody studied and supposedly prayed with you that you might know the real living God. And somebody asked the question a little while ago, what if I just let God work on me in His own time? Well, you might be giving up your right to eternal life if you allow that, because He may call you before you get to meet Him. We are supposed to share the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, flip over with me if you will to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, and the verse is number 16, the Bible says, ye shall know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? In other words, you as a Christian ought to be known by the fruits that you bear. If you are serving God, it ought to show that you are serving God. And I'll ask this question of you today. I'll ask this question of you this morning, I should say. The question is this. What if all of us, I want all of us to think on it. When we meet someone, do they see us as a Christian? That's where the meaning of you shall be known by their fruits. In other words, an apple tree should bear apples, not pears. Likewise, a Christian should show Christ and His good works, and that's the equivalent of good fruit. We are known by our actions. So if we were to pass by a crowd, would that crowd say there's one of those old-fashioned Christians? Or would they say, I saw him or her last night at the same club that I was at? Or would they simply say, there's a hypocrite if I've ever seen one? Sharing Christ with others is part of our Christian works. And there's biblical examples of Christ sharing in the Bible. In John chapter 1 and verse number 40, and 41, Andrew shared Christ with Simon, his brother. Philip told his brother Nathanael of finding Jesus in John 1 and 45. The woman at the well shared Christ with others in John 4, verses 28 through 30. Could or would you be accused of sharing Christ with others? It's all a part of being ready for the calling that's certainly going to come. If you have not prepared and have lived for the coming judgment day, you need to prepare yourself. As long as we still live, it's not too late. Surely the day is coming when we will no longer have a choice between heaven and hell. Hebrews 3 and verse number 15. Today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, because the day is coming which the Lord and His righteous judge. Today is the day to declare yourself to the Lord. So why not prepare yourself? Tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Consider, if you will, that the Lord is the only one who can offer us heaven for an eternity. Now, this message this morning is not meant to scare anyone. This message this morning is not meant to bring anyone to their knees, but it should make one think about, and it should be that I need to teach the truth, that you may become aware and know the true and the living God. There is still time to prepare if you're not ready prepared. One day we shall come before the judge. And do you remember the words of the old soldier in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, around verse number 7 and around verse number 8? He said, I have fought a good fight. First of all, in verse number 6, he said, my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there's a crown which of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all those that love His appearing. Can you say that you have fought a good fight? And I like how the old soldier dressed this up and he made it a personal affair. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore there is laid up a crown which is the Lord righteous judge shall give me, and not me only, but unto all those that love His appearing. In other words, you've got to get personal with the Lord in your preparation. You've got to make sure that you are serving God in the right manner. You've got to make sure that you understand what God wants from you. Saving your soul is very personal. It's not up to me to save your soul. I've got to save my own. And you know the example I always use. When you get down there and we stand before the judgment, don't call on me then, because I'm trying to answer you now. But if you won't hear me now, then you certainly won't hear me, because I'm going to be standing for myself. We must be like Paul. We must let our preparation become personal. It must be personal between you and the Lord. Prepare, for the time is near when there shall be no more time to get ready. And as surely as Paul was saying he was sure, can you say the same thing as your departure draws near? Now, I don't know if we're going to be able to have that opportunity that Paul had. I'm not saying that everybody is going to know when their departure is at hand like Paul did. But all I'm simply saying is that we're all going that way. And if you're going to go that way, why not make the best of it while you're this way? And if you're going to go that way, why not make it the good way that you're going to go? Do you want to be with the sheep? Or do you want to be dismissed like the goats? And you got to ask yourself the question, Lord, what do I need to do in order to get myself prepared? I can't tell you what to do. I can only give you what the Bible says. But you've got to know the position that you're in for yourself. You've got to understand and know what God expects of you. You've got to study for yourself. I can only study for me, and you can only study for you. You've got to prepare yourself. Now, as I stand in the pulpit on a Sunday morning, and I prepare you to know what God expects of you, but still I can't prepare you. I can simply tell you what the Bible expects of you, what the Bible tells you you need to do. When it comes to personal preparation, think about it. As Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. Oh, I want to be able to say that I've got a crown of righteousness laid up for me. You know, this life can get awful hard sometimes. You know, and as you start to age, and I like to use this because that's where I'm at right now. So bear with me, young folk, because if you live, you're going to get to this point too. You're going to ask yourself some questions about this life. Lord, I know you didn't have to leave me here this long, but since you did, Lord, will you help me to make it through this life? Give me my health and my strength, and if you don't give it all to me, just give me a reasonable portion of it, Lord. Do you remember King Hezekiah when he was about to die? What did he say? He turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. And he asked God, Lord, I've been a good person. I've been a good servant of yours. He was the best king that the world had known up to that point. There was not many like him, according to the word of God. And he asked the Lord, and the Lord did what? He granted him, how many years do you know the answer? 15 more years. Now, all I'm saying is that God did it for him. I'm not saying he's going to do it for any of us in here this morning, but he can if he wants to. So what I'm saying is that you need to prepare yourself that you can be in a position like King Hezekiah was and like Paul was. Paul knew he was going. Hezekiah had been warned that he was going by Isaiah. He was told to prepare and get his house in order. When you get your house in order, that means getting this house in order as well. It don't mean just leaving the insurance papers where everybody in the family can find them. It means more than that. It means getting your heart right with God. So Hezekiah prayed, and Paul gave a testimony there where he said, where he got personal there when he said, I have stayed the course. Can you say that you have stayed the course, or did you drop out of the off the course? You know, we're in a race. And when you're in the race, you want to stay on the track. If you fall off the track, you'll usually be disqualified because you fell off. Now, all I'm saying to you this morning is that you need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on that you may finish the course and that you may stay the course and finish the race. You know, I like how the Bible, we were talking about it in Bible class this morning, and I'm almost done. You'll be able to go in a minute. We were talking about how you read for content, for understanding. And you've got to understand that when you read the Bible, there's something in there for you. You might not believe it's in there for you, but it is there for you. It's there for all of us. And if it's for me, it's also for you. So when we study God's Word, we need to remember a few things. That we need to prepare ourselves, because one day we're going to go. And one day when we go, we're going to want to have God on our side. We're going to want to have God sending us to the right spot and not to the wrong spot. And the wrong spot is abandoning you to hell. Now, I know folk don't like to talk about hell, just like they don't like to talk about death, but it's a real possibility. And if you accept the fact that it is possible, then just maybe you'll get your life together and prepare yourself, because you, while you're living, you can make a choice. So I ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready for the call? Can you answer the call if it came today? And I don't know when it's coming. All I do know is that it's coming. I worry about certain things in this world, but I don't worry about death because I can't control it. I don't think about anything that I have no control over because I can't do anything about it anyhow. All I can do is prepare for death. And that's all you can do, is prepare for death. You can prepare yourself that you might live after death. Oh yeah, you're going to leave this physical life, but that might not be so bad when you think about it. But there's an afterlife that you want to live eternally with the Lord. Oh, I got a bunch of questions for the Lord myself. Therefore, I need to try to make sure that I can get up there with Him, because I got a bunch of questions for Him. And I'm sure that you can come up with a bunch of questions for Him as well. Lord, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you allow him to do that and not allow me to do that? Oh, I got a lot of questions. But I can only ask and get an answer to them if I can stand and go with him into eternal life. So if you want to be a part of this eternal glory that God has offered up for us by the death of his Son on yonder's cross, you need to become a part of Him. You need to believe on Him. You need to put yourself in Christ. How do I do that? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you're already a member of the body, and you know, I'd like to spend a moment or two on this. If you're already a member of the body, but some kind of way, folk think that because I'm now in the church, I can't go backwards. But I can. I can go backwards. And it does happen. It happens to elders, it happens to preachers, it happens to deacons, and it happens to members. We can all fall backwards. The world is so full of, and somebody mentioned it this morning, the world is so full of distractions. Things like the internet. Prior to, what was it, 1975 or 1980 or so, when the internet first came into being. See, most of us, a lot of us back then, possibly couldn't afford a computer because they were so high. But now everybody has got a computer. My little grandson knows how to use a computer much better than I do. He knows how to work a smartphone. I still got a phone that you have to dial on. You can't push a button and get somebody. So all I'm saying is that as things distract us in this life, we have to learn to stick with what's the right thing for us. And the Bible is right for us. We must prepare our lives, and we must prepare it by the Word of God. So if you're not a member, I've already given you the steps, and if you are a member, I just told you what you need to do, or I'll tell you again what you need to do. You need to ask God to forgive you if you've made any discretion, if you have any discretions in your life. Ask God to prepare you that you may gather up and be a good soldier for Him, just like Paul. Then you come forward and ask the church to pray for you and perhaps even with you that you may grow stronger. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.